Tim Priest with Tim O'Malley and John Bryce. We just came from press conference with Marcus Freeman following practice number 4 of the spring. The news that we got an inkling of here in the last couple days, we kind of waited for Marcus Freeman to confirm it all. He has had, Riley Leonard has had a setback with the ankle. He had surgery, tried to clean things up. Everything went smoothly according to the doctors. Marcus Freeman said he will be back at some point this spring. We don't believe that that's true. He's not. If he's back, he's going to be on the practice field standing there watching the other quarterbacks. But it struck me that this is a really good thing from a Notre Dame quarterback standpoint, in that Steve Angeli, you know, if all things being equal, if Riley Leonard played through the whole spring, he might be ready to leave after the spring. I mean Steve Angeli. This keeps the competition alive. I think this is good for Notre Dame, not for Riley Leonard.
Right.
We're not saying that that's a good thing, but in the grand scheme of the quarterback room, this could be beneficial for Notre Dame.
It's good for Notre Dame fans. It's good for fans of Notre Dame's roster, the quarterback's room, because I think all 4 quarterbacks will now enter August camp as members of the team, and I don't think there was a chance in hell that all 4 quarterbacks were all going to be on Notre Dame if Riley Leonard was healthy for 15 practices and ready to go. Just the nature of the beast. You move if you have to sit out of your quarterback. This is great for Kenny Minchie. Kenny Minchie gets to show more as well, because Marcus Freeman said, and we know this, but he said it out loud, Steve's ahead of those guys because of experience, but also what they know he can do. He's been in high leverage situations now. It's good for CJ Carr is getting more reps. I mean, I think it benefits Minshew the most, and possibly Angeli, because Angeli could now have a much better chance at winning a job.
Yeah, I called a college offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach after that press conference. He didn't know why I was calling. I said, hey, here's the deal. Riley Leonard's had surgery. Talk to me about a timeline recovery. What do you think? And Marcus Freeman said there's a possibility he could be back. We're not ruling it out. It's ruled out effectively. This college quarterback coach told me, bro, no way. You pay $1 million. He's using that term loosely. But this is your prize signee out of the transfer portal, your prize NIL guy. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. So, no, I don't think there's any chance whatsoever that Riley Leonard plays in the spring game. He may be back out there at some point getting some reps, but I think they said the surgery was yesterday. You're talking about a 6 to 8 week recovery overall is what this coach said. But, yeah, it's good news from a pragmatic standpoint. You hate for anybody to be injured or to have a surgery. It's good news, pragmatically speaking, for what it means for the volume of reps for those other guys. And Marcus Freeman himself said that. He goes, you know what, this makes it a little easier on Coach Gino. Now he knows exactly how to chart the reps 1, 2, 3.
I asked Marcus Freeman about, I brought up the interview that we had with Mike Denbrock a couple weeks ago, and Denbrock downstairs when talking to the TV people said there would be more 11 personnel, less 12 and 13 personnel, which isn't a surprise. That's one of the main reasons that Mike Denbrock is now at Notre Dame, is that he should be able to diversify what Notre Dame can do. Marcus Freeman said a lot of that has to do with the injury situation at tight end. We know Mitchell Evans is out. Eli Raerdon hasn't been practicing.
Hasn't been practicing fully.
At least when we've been in there, we haven't seen that. And I just, you know, I think that there's kind of conflicting stories there. I mean, I think that, certainly Mike Denbrock wants to go to more 11 personnel, not pound his head against the wall, to use his phrase, in third and one situations. I asked Marcus Freeman, you know, as a guy that has always said this should be an offensive line-driven offense, can he handle, maybe throwing the football in third and one a little bit more? He says as long as they convert, he doesn't care what play they call.
But he made a good point. They didn't always get it on third and one when they're in three tight ends and two tight ends either. Priester, on our walk over here, we talked about how he noted that Mike Denbrock, in his Cincinnati days, you just use 2 tight ends. That was personnel-driven. At LSU, you have wide receivers everywhere you look, and you don't have to use 2 tight ends often. Mitchell Evans, healthy, is in the lineup. If Eli Raerdon's healthy, they're going to use some 2 tight ends, but I really do believe that 11 personnel will be more of the norm. I don't think we've seen that officially. Maybe the numbers dictate a little bit differently that since 2018, when it was Boykin, Claypool, and Chris Fink. But it's nice to be able to use both. To use both, I think Eli Raerdon has to be healthy. Mitchell Evans obviously has to be healthy. I'm looking forward to seeing more 3 wide receiver sets. I'm going to quit talking about on the message board how much I like spreading it out on third down, because I've gone overboard on it now, and the first time they get stopped it's going to be see that O'Malley. But I really believe spreading it out with athletes in space is the modern way of attacking third down.
John, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, especially as we continue to get more and more eyes on Jaden Harrison and what that guy does in small, confined space. So you know he's going to be an incredibly difficult matchup on third and short because, again, we saw him working a third of the field the other day, completely shake a defender, and everybody knew what was coming. You knew you were only dealing with a finite amount of space. You put Jaden Harrison in full space, and it really opens up a lot of potential for you, even if that means you just use him as a decoy and you end up running it through the A-gap because Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love continue to look so good. And then real quickly on Eli, because this was a question on the podcast, you just referred to it. It is strictly a maintenance thing. I talked to some people this week, and look, when this guy's healthy, he is an NFL player, and you guys have heard me talk about that before. I'll stress it again. But there is concern about managing his health and can he stay healthy because it's been two major surgeries on that same knee.
Well, we talked about how important it was for him to complete spring practice and remain healthy.
Correct.
So they are
doing
things in order to make sure that that happens. I think we've all been impressed with Bryce Young as soon as you see him running around on the field. But when Marcus Freeman singles him out and says physically he's in a position to hold up, I think we're going to see Bryce Young quite a bit between now and the spring game. I don't know how many opportunities we'll have, but I think in the spring game you're going to see number 30, freshman defensive end, getting some reps with the ones, mostly twos, but probably with the ones as well.
The physical gifts we talked about, we touched on this on the podcast, I guess it was Wednesday, not Thursday, but the football IQ matches the physical gifts. And I referred specifically to those edge contain drills that he was working under Coach Al Golden. And it was impressive to see his recognition and improvement from one rep to the next. And then you factor that in with the fact that, you know, his wingspan's like a condor. And so he eats up so much space, but he does it so effortlessly and fluidly that, yeah, it's always nice when you make an observation and the head coach comes back and says, yeah, that guy's good.
A couple of injuries in addition to Riley Leonard. Deion Colsey dislocated a finger. He'll be out.
He did surgery.
He said he'd be back. And again, he said he'd be back out there next week. I don't think he's going to be catching a lot of fingertip passes. Kedron Young, who, again, physically, we've been all pretty impressed with him. He's been slowed by a hamstring. Good things from Marcus Freeman on Aeneas Williams.
Yeah, it's. I asked the question about the two freshmen because the key is we know they can play. You can put Aeneas Williams and Kedron Young in games, and they can catch the ball and they can run the ball. Can they pick up the concepts of pass protection? It is the single most important thing, and we're talking to Dylan McCullough this week, so I wanted to put that out there. I watched about two drills in our one open practice, and Aeneas Williams had two nice blitz pickups, and I said, that's so much more important than watching him shake a guy in space. I know he can do that, but if you can get him involved in that, that's great as well. I mean, right now they would have to rely, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, they relied on him last year too, but Jabron Payne was their best in pass protection last year along with Audric Estime. Price never showed a lot of acumen in pass protection. Now he's going to be better in his next year as a starter, but that is a way to the field because Dylan McCullough wants roles, and when he trusts you in a role, we have noticed he will play you in that role.
You know, some positive comments about RJ Oben. Marcus Freeman talked about, you know, everybody's journey is different. That was a big theme here today. It's mainly with the younger guys. But, you know, he wants RJ Oben to just trust the coaching, because just because you were good at Duke does not necessarily mean that you're going to arrive here at Notre Dame and hit the ground running. You have new terminology and new things that you need to do. So he said he's seen progress in Oben in practice four compared to practice one. And we talked to Oben and L. Washington about the importance of him being good against the run. We know we can rush the passer, but can he be solid against the run? And that's on his to-do list. We're talking about safeties, we'll be wrapping it up here, but Don Shuler and Luke Telich have been getting some looks with the first team. Every time I look out at the safety group, and like the other day I saw somebody move and I couldn't see the number because he was turned sideways, and it's Don Shuler.
Yeah.
He is impressive on the back end. Now, whether he understands everything that they're doing back there, I don't know. But physically, you really like seeing what Adon Shuler could do on the field.
That's why I asked about the safeties. I knew if I only asked about Adon Shuler, we weren't going to get an answer. But Adon Shuler is a guy that, because they have Rod Hurd coming, I think Adon Shuler can really be helped along by Watson Hurd as the summer and as August camp progresses, because he's not going to know every check like DJ Brown and Ramon Henderson did, but he doesn't have to if he's the third safety. And he and Luke Talich is third and fourth safeties. That's another luxury for this defense. And I want to add one more thing before we wrap up, because you mentioned RJ Oben. through all of spring ball last year, I cannot recall thinking a single thing about JJB,
no,
Javonte Jean-Baptiste. So pump the brakes, anything, anybody worries about anybody in spring ball. I didn't know if he could play at all because I never saw him out there, and then he didn't play in the blue goal game. Fourth best player on the team last year, third best player on the team. So it, there is development when they transfer in.
That's it outside of Notre Dame Stadium. We'll be back next week. Notre Dame practice 5 on Monday. Wednesday, practice 6 will be our next viewing. Until then, Tim Priester, Tim O'Malley, John Bryce, we are Irish Illustrated.